Proverbs chapter 18. Kids, we sang an extra song, so you're going to have to wait till next week for a joke. But I'll do it again. I've been getting nagged about a joke, so I will give in, all right? But we're going to wait till next week. Go ahead and get into Proverbs here, chapter number 18. Let's start reading in verse number 12, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter, and we'll try to get this chapter done tonight if we can, all right? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Brother Schmidt, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please?
Lord, Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and just bringing us all back here again tonight, God. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you, Lord, and meet together. Pray, Father, now that you just speak to us. Lord, you use Pastor Mike, fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us what we need tonight, Lord, and for the rest of the week. Thank you, and we love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse number 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The Marine Corps has a saying that's commonly attributed to them, and it's called earned, never given. Earned, never given. You know, we live in a culture that wants to just be given everything. We really do. It's bad. I can't help but to recognize it sometimes in myself. You always want to take those shortcuts, you know. How many people go start school and never finish? Or start a bunch of things and never finish? Start on a career path and don't finish? Start a job and don't finish? So we got a lot of people that just kind of quit pretty easy. It's our culture. And the Bible teaches the exact opposite. I was thinking about that just tonight. The reality is, getting where you want to go in life the right way is slow, steady, long, and difficult. We were thinking this morning, I was talking to you this morning about the soul winning endeavors and how, you know, we've been praying and we've been trying really hard and we need to ramp up the prayers and really go after them. We got all kinds of great prospects out there and they're not coming through those doors. And the thought is this, you know, it makes sense why so many churches and preachers revert to marketing or revert to sheep stealing. Because it is so much easier to get an influx of people in your pews because they're disgruntled with somebody else, or you got something to offer the other church doesn't have to offer. It's a lot easier to take the shortcut than it is to go win them. Once you've won them, disciple them. Go through all that that means with them, trying to help them grow, trying to help them get faithful, trying to help them get over their sin. It is difficult to do things the right way. It's not easy. It's earned, never given. It's hard work. On top of that, then once you help them get off their drugs or get their marriage passed up or get off their liquor or get their, you got to then start teaching them to be faithful to church. And then you start trying to teach them to be faithful to more than one service because really that's not enough for most people. And it's just a long, hard process of slowly and patiently trying to help people grow. Everything in life is like that if you're going to get it the right way. And that's what verse 12 is showing us. Before destruction, we dealt with that last week, the heart of man is haughty. The second part of this verse is what we're looking at today. And before honor is humility. Before you get the reward, before you get the praise, before you get the honor, it takes some humility first. Everybody wants to go right to being honored. The best way to get to being honored on the job is to go in there and be a great servant. Work like crazy. Do everything nobody else wants to do. Do it faster. Do it better. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Start at the bottom and work your way up. Before honor is humility. Nobody wants to start at the bottom. Nobody wants to come in and say, hey, can I clean the toilets? Where's the cleaning list? Do we have enough people on the cleaning list? Hey, can I work the nurseries? Good night, man. It's understandable. You know, once your kids are past that age, it's completely understandable. My wife and I never understood the older people who said, I just don't work nurseries. I'm past that point in our life. Until we're past that point. And then it's like, oh, I get what they were saying. But you know what? When I was a young mom, older moms came in and watched my kids. So I'm going to go down there. I'm going to be a part of that ministry. Before honor is humility. Most people don't want to sign up for those kind of jobs. Most people want to go right to preaching and not go right to Sunday school class. They want to go right to preaching in the pulpit at church, but they don't want to go to the nursing home. They want to go right to getting called to go preach Bible conferences, but they don't want to preach on the street. Before honor is humility. Is it not a humbling thing to preach in the nursing home? I'm not trying to be unsensitive to those folks in the nursing home, but honestly, sometimes they're sitting there and you don't know if they understand you or not. I've preached to them while they're sitting there and they're drooling and they're kind of looking at me and not looking at me and their head's hanging over and they can't stand up. Literally, drool's coming out of their mouth and they smell, I'm not being gross, but they smell like urine and I'm not putting them down. That may be me someday, so I'm not being derogatory about it and it's not a joke. And you're sitting there and you're preaching to them. You know, you see yourself as quite the big shot. You're on fire for God. I mean, you walk into church and you're ready to preach and you're prayed up and you got this message and it means everything in the world to you. And you're taking yourself very seriously. People walk in, you know, picking their teeth and, you know, having a rough day and trying to stay asleep and, you know, pulling at 5 kids or 3 kids or 10 kids to get them out the door. And it feels like 10 kids, whether it's 2 or 3 or 5. They walk into church all frustrated, you taking yourself all seriously. It's such good medicine for you to learn to preach in a nursing home where you feel like it's a waste of time. I have preached in the nursing home and walked out of there feeling embarrassed. Like I completely wasted my time. I don't think they even understood what I was saying. You go try to talk to some of them afterwards and they can't speak to you. You guys know what I'm talking about? Isn't it a little bit embarrassing? Before honor is humility. You have no idea what they're getting or not getting. But God does. And I believe God can give them enough conscious awareness to where you may be getting the gospel to them, and they may be sitting there going, oh, that's it, and getting saved, and you might not even know it till you get to heaven. Before honor is humility. It's good medicine for you. I will never forget, I've told you before, I'll never forget being the pastor in Illinois. That thing lasted 6 months. I came home. That was a complete mess. We moved back to Ohio. We were living in Temperance, Michigan, which is right on the border of Ohio and Michigan, and going to Hope Baptist Church in Toledo. And after a little while passed, I got offered an opportunity. I was a senior pastor. Don't forget that. The opportunity I got offered was to teach the 2-year-old class. Here I am, a double-breasted green suit that I used to wear when I was, you know, the chief cook and bottle wash. You know, the whole place revolved around me. And now I'm literally in a 2-year-old class that's positioned right in the corner in the lobby where everybody's walking by into the gym to go to the bathrooms and walking by the main lobby there to get into the auditorium. And everybody wants to see those 2-year-olds. Everybody. And I'm in there, I'm in the Lord's army, yes sir, in my double-breasted green suit. It's humiliating. Because you know what? At 26 or 27 years old, I took myself real seriously. And I was ready to set the world on fire for God. And God gave me a demotion. And you know, God left me in there until I got my attitude completely right. And I started teaching those kids with love for those kids. And really cared about trying to help them. It's a blessing when parents will come up and say, I just want you to know you're my kid's favorite Sunday school teacher. And that started meaning something to me. Before honor is humility. Folks, that's something we got to learn, and we're not very good at that as Americans. We think we're something special, don't we? Before honor is humility. I'll show you some truth about that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Anybody aspiring to be a soldier for Jesus Christ has got to learn humility, and it's not in us. We're actually the opposite of it naturally. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Speaking about deacons here, in 1 Timothy 3:10, he says, "And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." So before they get the honor of having the title deacon, God said, first let them prove themselves. That takes time. A guy's got to do the job, be willing to do the job with the right spirit, the right attitude, the right heart, and let the church see the proof of him before you ever give him a title. It is so much, one preacher told me this, he said, it's so much easier to give somebody a job than it is to take it away from them. That was profound. I did not realize how profound that was until much more, until recently actually. That's a profound thing. So be careful about giving them a job. Make sure that they're doing the job before they get the title. Before honor is humility. And the same thing is there's like a, if you read, I guess behind the scenes, it's indicated the same thing is true of a pastor. If you look at verse number 1, 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Okay? A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And then he goes into the qualifications for a bishop. So it almost looks like he's saying, if a guy desires that office, that's great, but here's some qualifications you need to see in that man before you put him in that office. You understand that? Before honor is humility. Some things you need to prove before you get the title. Not just to God, to yourself and to everybody else. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 22. We saw this recently on Sunday morning. Philippians 2:22. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know what he said? You know the proof of him. Okay, now Paul is putting his stamp and seal of approval on Timothy, but he's putting his seal of approval on Timothy because he's saying, you guys all know he's proved himself. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to be able to say, this guy's proved himself, he's been faithful, there was humility in his life before he got the honor from Paul of getting his hands laid on him and being sent out. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. You got to be careful. You got to slow down. Before honor is humility, back in Proverbs chapter 18, please. He that answereth a matter, verse 13, before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. I don't know about you, but I've been bad about that before. I have knee-jerk reactions. It's easy to jump to conclusions. You know, the more you get to know people and the more you live and you see good and bad and ups and downs, and the more it's easy to just draw very harsh and very quick opinions of people or of things that you see in people. It's real easy to say, yeah, I've seen that before. That ain't going to work out good. You know what I find interesting? The Bible says God's able to hold them up. So sometimes you might see something in somebody that you've seen before, and before it didn't work out good, but just maybe this time God sees a heart in this other individual who may have the same fault as the former individual, but the heart of this individual is different, and God holds them up. It's real easy to answer a matter before you hear it. It is a folly and shame unto him. You make yourself look like an idiot. I've made myself look like an idiot. I won't hide it. Whatever. Who cares? I'm not God. I've made myself look like an idiot passing judgment on people because I've seen this before and it turns out bad. And I say, that's not going to work. And it works. I'm not God. It is so easy to hear half of the gossip and draw conclusions, isn't it? You hear one person's side of the story, you know what you've heard? One side of the story. Man, a woman comes to you crying, you know, oh, I need to talk to you. Okay, well, you're talking to me and Grace. Okay, come on, we'll talk. Oh, I'm going to go kill him. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to kill him. I'm not going to counsel with your husband. I'm going to kill this guy. He is a total dirtbag. What a loser. Right? Because you heard her side of the story. And everybody's heart goes out to the poor, abused woman. You go talk to him and you hear the other side of the story and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'd be a jerk to her too. You follow me? You answer a matter before you hear it, it's folly and shame unto you. If you've heard one side of the story, you know what you've heard? One side. All you got's half. All you got's 50% of the details. You know, I was thinking about that. I deleted CNN, Fox, and Detroit Fox today. I am getting more and more of a Scrooge as I get older. It's just ridiculous. Before you know it, I'm going to throw away my smartphone. I'll get my brain back when I do. Jack sent me a text today. That's the problem with flip phones. It looked like complete Greek. Not joking. It was like @ capital A, a period, an upside down exclamation point. It was just bizarre stuff. Triangles, the all seeing eye. It was just craziness, man. It was just absolutely freaking me out. I thought I was on drugs. Somebody slipped something in my coffee, you know. But I'm sick of it. I deleted it. You know why? Because I'm reading these news articles and I'm realizing I'm only hearing their slanted views of everything. And it's just getting depressing. I'm so tired of seeing how many people are abusing kids. I'm like, why do I need this even in my head? Just sick. I could puke reading some of these news articles. More and more and more and more of this filthiness. Seeing this guy in the courtroom, he killed 3 women. Three women. You guys seen that? And the dad got up to testify in court. And the guy's sitting there, his daughter was 18 when the guy kidnapped her and killed her. And I think he was wrapping the bodies and putting them in his basement or something, if I'm not mixing the stories up. And when the dad turned around and looked at him, he went like this. And the man just went off. A great big old dude, man. And he went airborne. And 5 or 6 cops jumped on him and pulled him off. And he's snatching at that guy, trying to grab that guy. And the guy's laughing and smirking the whole time. And I literally can feel my adrenaline going up in my body. I watched it like 2 or 3 times. And I could feel that adrenaline rising. Just, I mean, you got to think that you're going to stop at nothing. Like, okay, all right. I hope you're happy. Are you happy? Hope you're happy. I'll put 10 grand in somebody's, what do they call that thing? In their jail account. Yeah, brother, you're thinking like me, man. I'm glad I'm not the only one in the flesh tonight, man. A $10,000 shank, man, that's pretty fancy. What's their bank account there in commissary? That's what I was thinking. I'll put 10 grand in somebody's commissary. Hey, I'm, you know what I mean? Why do I need this stuff? Get rid of it. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of hearing half the story. I read an article today about what's been going on with the Saudi Arabians and the U.S. You know how much of our debt they held? It was a secret, kept secret since the 70s. A deal between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia said that one of the terms of the deal is nobody can know we have this deal because they don't want to jeopardize their relationship in the Middle East. And a big problem was that they're helping bankroll us, and yet we support their archenemy, Israel. Do you know how much of the U.S. debt they hold? And I'm looking at that thing thinking this thing could all come down so fast and so easy. Why do I need to even be thinking about that? I love ignorance on some levels. Not an ignorance of God, not an ignorance of being educated, but just some things like I didn't know that and I didn't need to know that. Why do I, now that I know that, I don't want to know that, but I can't unknow that. And you know what? I'm only being fed what they want me to know. So I don't even really know the whole story. Do you know Americans for centuries have not known the whole story on where our debt is? We've been paranoid about China, and Saudi Arabia has been holding a tremendous amount of power over us. They said they hold like some 20% of the world debt. They are bankrolling so much of this world. Now, that's kind of neat the way that could play in with end time prophecy and all that. But they're archenemies of Israel. I mean, it's just too much sometimes. And I know that I answer a lot of matters before I hear them. I know I make a lot of conclusions about things that I really shouldn't be making. I know I've made conclusions about people I shouldn't have made. And I feel bad about them. The Bible says it's folly and shame unto him. Now look at verse number 14. This is a verse I like. This is something that's important for you to grasp a hold of tonight. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? When somebody's got a strong spirit, they can take all kinds of problems, all kinds of troubles, sicknesses, weaknesses. I mean, people will come limping into church on a cane with a smile on their face, right? Why? Because they want to be in church. Because they feel good. Because they're excited in the spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? When somebody's spirit is wounded, a little headache will keep them home. I wasn't feeling good. I went to go get my clothes and they weren't ironed. Why aren't they in church? What's the matter with them? Their spirit's wounded. It is so important for you, Christian, to keep a healthy spirit. That's more important than you keeping a healthy body. Because a healthy spirit will sustain an unhealthy body. They go together, and you ought to take care of your body. It's your temple and all that stuff. But that's just going to die and rot anyhow. Your spirit is important. A wounded spirit. Have you ever met somebody with a wounded spirit? You ever meet somebody with a happy spirit? They got a happy smile on their face. They're excited about life. They're, no matter what their problems are, they're doing okay. That's your spirit. It is important that we keep our spirit right. Because that spirit will just drain you and drag you down. Even when you're feeling good, you won't be feeling good. You ever had a day where you're not sick? Sun's shining outside. Nothing's really wrong. And you're still bummed out. You're still not feeling that great. You're grouchy. It's a wounded spirit. Don't forget, I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again, your problems can be in three arenas. You got a body. You can have problems in your body. Amen, Ramona? Amen, Brother Paul? Todd? You can have problems in your body, right? You got a soul. That's your intellect, your emotions, and your will. If you got problems in your body, see a doctor. You understand? Doctors are not a sin. Go see the doctor. And when you get to him, trust him, please. And if you don't like him, get another one you do trust, but you got to go with what the doctor says. Amen. People try to drag the spiritual, which we'll get to in a second, into the physical. And that can be very stupid. I'm not saying the spiritual's not there. I'll get to it in a second. But some people say, well, I got advanced cancer, so what am I going to do? I'm going to speak positive words. That's stupid. Go to the doctor and take the drugs. Amen. You got problems in your body. You could have problems in your soul. I know of one case where a young woman had all kinds of problems in her past. She had had a rough life. She went and she saw a Christian psychologist. And that Christian psychologist supposedly truly helped her. And she's supposedly doing much better. Her parents say she actually is the one they were the most worried about, and she's become super mom. They said we're just like blown away at her. So maybe she had problems in her soul. Do you realize this can come from all kinds of things in life? Some people were abused as a child and they don't want anybody to know, and I wouldn't tell anybody unless you're telling the right source to get help. But don't spread that around. But some people were abused as a child. That's sad. But that can cause psychological problems. Sometimes your problems may be there. There's other problems that are in your spirit. They're spiritual. Those only God can help. A psychologist cannot help you in your spirit. A doctor, a medical doctor, cannot help you in your spirit. You know what the medical doctors do to help somebody in their spirit? They give them happy pills. It didn't change the spirit, because if you don't pop that pill, you're not feeling good. My grandpa was a notoriously angry and mean man. He just was. He was just mean. I remember him calling my grandma every name under the sun in front of us, screaming at her. He was from northern Italy. He had blue eyes, blonde, light skin, And he was my height. He looked a lot like me with the skin tone and everything else, but he was a northern Italian. She was a Sicilian, so she had the dark skin, and she was shorter than him in the whole nine yards. He would use racial slurs at his wife, at his own wife. He'd use racial slurs. Just a horribly mean person. But when Grandpa would come over, a lot of times, he was a riot. I mean, I had no idea when I was young that he was actually stoned. He was high as a kite, and I didn't know it. But once we got older, Grandma would say, "Did you take your pills, John?" "Oh, I don't want to take those stupid things. Take your happy pills." That was Grandma's term for him. Take your happy pills. So we got to where we were innocent, you know, 10, 11, 12. We didn't really understand everything there was about drugs. But when Grandpa got there, we'd go run out the car and we'd say, "Grandpa, did you take your happy pills?" "Yeah, I took my happy pills." We're like, "Yeah, Grandpa took his happy pills." Because Grandpa was happy on his pills. To this day, I don't know what he was taking. That would be interesting to find out. But Grandpa wasn't changed. Grandpa was happy when he was on his pills. It's God that changes that spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit of God that will help your spirit. Now, when God begins to help my spirit, that can trickle down to my soul. I can start finding answers in my Bible that will help my soul. Amen. I'm not saying if it's a soul problem, always run to a psychologist. I'm saying I think on some rare occasions they can help. I really believe God helps with the spirit and that affects the soul. He'll begin to help you think right. He'll begin to help you work through your troubles. He'll begin to turn those for your good, no matter how bad it was, even something as heinous as abusing a child. If that was you sometime in the past, God can turn all those things to good and make you better for it. That's just His power. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's above the norm. And then when you're feeling better in your spirit and in your soul, well, that can help you fight. You ever see somebody that just gets sick and they fight? They just say, "No, I'm not giving up. I'm fighting this with everything I got. And God's going to help me, and I'm going to pray this thing through, and everybody's praying for me, and I'm going to be all right. I am not giving into this thing." That really, I believe, can affect the flesh. Amen. And can help you. So God's in all of it, you understand? But there are some areas that the medical doctor can't help, the psychologist can't help. God can help them all. We know that. And James says, "Call for the elders of the church and pray over them, and sometimes they're healed." I believe that prayer can do it. If God chooses to. I mean, we have seen it, haven't we? Amen. We've been getting a flood for a year and a half or 2 years now of bad reports on health. It's like, I just wonder, and I'm not stating this, I'm just wondering, and I've wondered a few times, if the devil's not attacking our church in that way. There's too many people getting health problems. But haven't we seen God answer prayer 100% of the time so far? It's been great, ain't it? Well, we got to keep praying. I believe God can take care of all that stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? But I'm trying to tell you that there's one thing a doctor cannot touch. A psychologist cannot help. And it's your spirit. That's God. Go over with me to the book of Ephesians, please. I'm sure I'm not alone when I say we struggle sometimes, don't we? I do. Ephesians, we're in chapter 5, I believe. I'm trying to find it here. I hadn't intended on turning to it, but the fruit of the Spirit, guys. Galatians, is it Galatians? It's Galatians 5, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to look at it. Because these things, if you look at these things and think about it, you'll recognize how these will affect your soul. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, if somebody's got love in their spirit, how does that affect your soul? Your essence of your personality, right? That's your soul. So we all have a flesh. Our flesh is wired very much the same way the elements, the chemical composition of our flesh, even though we all look different, we have different features and whatnot, but we're generally all made of the same stuff, right? All right, so that's all the same. Our personalities are all different, but we all have the spirit of a man, a human spirit. My dog has a different spirit. He was laying there in the living room with me this morning, snoring like a grown man. It's just incredible. I and he'll like do this, like bark and stuff, like he's twitching. He's running and he's chasing something. You know? And I'm like, I'm wondering, I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like, what's he chasing? I wonder what he dreams about. You know, it's got to be different than my dreams. I guarantee it. You know, but he's got the spirit of an animal. And then next thing you know, he's like, I'm not kidding you, man. A 75-pound pit bull laying there going, he'll like snap awake and look at me and like, it's a riot. But he's got the spirit of a beast, right? I got the spirit of a man. You got the same spirit. We saved, we got the spirit of God. It's the same spirit, right? Don't we all have completely different personalities? There's 22 different personalities and variations thereof. Personality types and variations thereof. What makes us all so different? It's your soul. Some people are jokesters. People don't get my jokes at all. I mean, a lot of times people are like, is he joking or is he serious? Like, I can see it on little kids now. It seems like the older I get, the more they get freaked out when I'm kidding around. They're like, no, I'm kidding, honey. It's okay. Like, she just went, Mom, the kid just wet her pants. I'm sorry about that, you know? What makes us wired like we're wired? Some people are way more laid back. I mean, just chilled, you know? Some of us are like type A, hyperactive, high strung. It's like make everybody else stressed just being in the room with you, you know? But I'm me. I don't know what. What did I do? What are you talking about? What? Why are we so different? Because our soul's different. You know what every one of us needs? We need love. Where's that going to come from? The Spirit of God. Will that affect your soul, your emotions? Well, I'm not touchy-feely. Well, I am. Well, that's no excuse. You need to learn to be in your marriage. Amen. I know it's not always easy. Some personalities are just not cuddlers. You need to learn to be. You need to learn to express your love. How are you going to do that? The Spirit of God will help you with that. It's in the spirit. It'll affect the soul. Look at the next one. Joy. We got enough Eeyore Christians, you know. Yeah, joy. I mean happy. Excited about serving the Lord. Something to live for. Peace. Peace. There is something about peace. It's hard to even put your finger on it. You ever talk about some of us, you know, younger folks getting started? You ever talk about moving out where you got a little bit more property and you can't see your neighbors? And what do you think of? You think of sitting on that back porch or some patio out there with a bonfire going and a nice, comfortable, easy chair, listening to the birds sing, watching the sunset, the warm rays in the summertime. You never think about the mosquitoes that are zapping you in the face and the kids that are saying, I'm hungry, for the 900th time, destroying your peace. What do you think about? You're thinking about, that was a joke. You're thinking about peace. Something inside of us wants peace. You know where that comes from? The Spirit of God. You don't live in a world of peace. It's wars. It's rumors of wars. And it's going to get worse. Peace comes from God. Long-suffering, that would be something that comes from the Spirit of God. It'll affect your soul. It'll affect the essence of your personality. Are you following me? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So back in Proverbs 18, so the spirit getting right will affect your personality. I've had people say that to me in the past, like, wow, you've changed since we started coming here. My answer was, I hope to God I have. Praise the Lord, thank you. Appreciate the words of encouragement. You know, it's meant as criticism, but, well, you're just a different man than you used to be. Well, glory to God, I hope so. Why? I hope the Spirit of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and one day at a time trying to serve the Lord is changing my personality. That's just who I am and who I'll always be. Okay, be a spiritual midget the rest of your life. That's fine. You can be stunted all you want. But as far as I'm concerned, I hope I get easier to live with as time goes on. She stuck with me. Amen? She said, she whispered amen. She mouthed amen. Praise the Lord, honey. God bless you. You know what I don't want it to be? I don't want it to be purgatory. I don't want her prayers every morning to be like, Lord, what did I do to get stuck with this idiot? I don't want my kids to be like, how come you didn't give me a different dad? I want to get better as time goes on. That's going to happen by the Spirit of God. And I believe if my spirit's right with the Lord and if I get filled with the Spirit of God, that it'll sustain whatever else is coming in my life, because there are bad days coming. Some days it rains. You know, I mean, we were talking this morning, I think it was me and Brother Doug, about how we just feel like we're like one step away from a crash in the economy. Wouldn't take much. I think you mentioned the Sears Tower coming down, right? It'd be about all it'd take to put him out of work. You got no idea what's coming down the road. But if your spirit's right, God will sustain you through it all. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. We're going to deal with this a little more Sunday morning, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But it'd be real smart for you to do your best to seek the knowledge of God, to try to learn, to truly try to learn. I'm talking about real learning. I'm not talking about worldly education. There's worldly education and there's true knowledge. And true knowledge is very different than worldly facts and education. I heard somebody talking recently. I was out with Grace, and they were the little boy was saying, millions and millions of years ago, there was a blah, 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 blah. And the dad said, what was that? They were all so cute. And their mom and dad were talking about how cute the kid was. And millions of years ago. And they were like, oh, that's true. That's right. There dinosaurs lived here millions and millions of years ago. That's right. Oh, he's so smart. I thought, no, he's as stupid as his mom and dad. You got him brainwashed already to be stupid. That's going to be his frame of reference his whole life, the poor kid. I mean, I'm not being mean to the kid or the parents. They don't know. That's what they were brainwashed to believe. I'm not being mean. I'm just laying the facts out there pretty bluntly, and then I want you to get the heart behind it. I mean, okay, that's stupid stuff, but hopefully they get saved or something. I'm not talking about this world's knowledge. I'm talking about real knowledge. I mean, can you step back from a situation you're in and say, you know what, the problem here is me. And here's what I'm doing wrong, and here's what I need to change. That's hard to do. Before honor is humility. That's hard. Ain't that hard to do? Come on, be honest. Because you don't ever get into a fight with your spouse or your boss or your coworker because you think you're wrong. Do you? Come on, man. If you do, you need a psychologist. Don't even come to me. Go to get some drugs, amen? That's crazy stuff. We all fight with people because we think we're right. And real knowledge will allow me to step back and go, you know what, but I could have handled that differently, and this might not have been this bad if I'd have handled that differently. I'm talking about real knowledge of God, knowledge of life, knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of myself, knowledge of human nature. Boy, man, that'll take us a long way in this life. This verse 16 is encouraging for those of you guys called to preach or for anybody in the room. It applies to all of you, but it should help you guys when you're called to preach. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. If you have a gift, and according to the Bible, everybody that's saved has one, it will make room for you. You don't have to make room for it. It'll make room for you. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like I'm walking into the room because I'm just going about my way and I need that spot. And so my gift is here and it says, here, come right here and you can fill this spot. It makes room. It gets out of my way. Does that kind of make sense? Sort of? Now check this out. Paul says, he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. How will I know when I'm supposed to go and where I'm supposed to go and where I'm supposed to wind up? Just serve the Lord one day at a time, doing the right things every day. So, you got a job? What time are you supposed to be there tomorrow morning? Shout out your time. Everybody, shout out your time. Be there. That's the right thing to do. Not 7:35, not 7:05, not 7:15. Be there. That's what you're supposed to do tomorrow, right? And give them an honest day's work. You got a Savior? I hope so. If not, we're switching gears right now. You're supposed to talk to Him tonight. You're supposed to talk to Him tomorrow. You're supposed to put Him first. Do it. You got a Bible? Read it. Got gospel tracts? Well, they're in the lobby available for you if you don't. Grab them. Do what you're supposed to do. And you will find yourself smack dab in the middle of God's will whenever God sees you're ready. That's how it works out. I have thought of so much about, okay, how to send guys out. All right, finish the institute. Be faithful at our church and let us see you win souls and bring people to church with you. You know, I could lay out this list of things you got to accomplish here to prove yourself to us. Or I could, with a good conscience, go to the guys and say, hey, look, I really believe in him. He believes God's calling such and such a field. We're going to go check it out. Let's get behind him. Let's support him. Let's make this happen. Right? A list of regulations and things that I think make a lot of sense for a guy to prove himself. But there's a problem with that. A guy can finish the institute, be faithful, win souls, and have a desire to go somewhere himself that God didn't call him to do. So I really don't think there's any way to put this into a formula. I honestly don't think Jim Richardson could go through the institute and do these certain things and be ready in 3 years, and Dan Schmidt could go through and do the same things and be ready in 3 years. It might take Dan 10 years. It might take Jim 2. I think only God really knows this stuff. And I think it'll be apparent to you, to me, to the church, and to God. If you just be faithful and do your very best where you are to be what you're supposed to be today, and if you're doing what you're supposed to do and being what you're supposed to be, then on a mission field you'll do the same thing. But if you're not going to do it here, you're not going to do it there. A man's gift maketh room for him. You know, that's kind of relaxing. You realize nobody hooked me up? Nobody hooked me up. I resent guys that expect me to hook them up. I had another preacher tell me himself, he said, hey, you let the young guys go figure it out and do it on their own just like you had to earn your stripes. I had to earn my stripes, and every other preacher that God ever used had to earn their stripes. You let them earn their own stripes. Don't you hand them a fish. Teach them to fish. And I said, you know, that absolutely makes sense. Why? Because if you got the gift, it'll make room for you. I was blown away when we started this church at what was happening. It was just God. You couldn't explain it any other way. It was God. Were you qualified, preacher? Not any more qualified to pastor than I was qualified to marry when I got married. I knew nothing about marriage. Nothing. I knew what not to do. I lived in a house where there was a lot of strife and a lot of bickering and I mean, years of that stuff. I saw some tough stuff. I saw the hard side of it. I was scared to get married. Amen. Were you ready to have kids? Are you kidding me? Nobody's ready to have kids. You just kind of do it. You know, it's like learning to swim. Boop! Sink or swim, baby. You want to die today? You better figure it out quick. You guys, but there's some things that are in place that make a successful marriage. You're not ready, but some things are in place. There's some principles. There's some character there that enables you. There's a walk with Christ there that enables you to figure those things out and allows God to bless. Man's gift maketh room for him. Make sure you got the character. Make sure that you know what God's called you to do and that you're doing what you're supposed to do today. All the details will work themselves out. Verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. So, usually the first person to open their mouth is the one that seems right. We were talking not long ago about domestics, you know. 9 times out of 10, the guy goes to jail, no matter what. You realize a woman can be just absolutely annihilating him, throwing stuff at him, beating him, trying to choke him out, punching him, kicking him, elbowing him in the face. She can bust the guy up, and the first time he, you know, knocks her dentures out, you know, defending himself. It can be self-defense. He's going to jail. You know why? Anybody know why? It's not because she's a woman and all that kind of, it's not that. It's because she calls the cops. Man's first in his own cause seemeth just. He hit me! He hit her. That's not the whole story. Be careful when somebody just comes running to you with their cause. They seem just. Absalom and David. and the people run into Absalom with their cause. But the neighbor comes and goes, yeah, wait a minute. The cops show up, what do? They ask questions. When they search it out, it's like, oh, I didn't know all that. See? People can deceive you pretty easy by just being loud and being aggressive and being right at you with their side of the story. It's good to know this stuff. You guys realize how good it is to know this stuff? You get on a new job, you guys experience this, and you know, you're fine, you're cool. And they come on and say, you got to watch her. You got to watch him. You know, that boss, you don't want to work for that boss. And you were like, you were cool, everything was fine. You and that boss, and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh. And that boss senses something now, and that problem start. He that's first in his own cause seemeth just. Okay, thank you. I'll make up my own mind. Appreciate that. Thanks for your opinion. But I didn't ask for it. Be careful. Be real careful. This stuff will mess you up. Verse 18, the lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. What's that all about? Well, in the Old Testament, they'd flip a coin. To put it real simply, there's ways they go about casting lots. And they figure the lot's cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So they'd cast the lots, and whichever way the lot fell, okay, well, that was God's deal. That's the way it fell. If God wanted it to fall different, it would have fell different. That's what it's talking about. The lot causeth contentions to cease. Flip a coin. It's essentially like volley in for serve. No, we should go for serve. Oh, you guys got all the tall people over there. Yeah, but you guys are all the fast people. Yeah, but none of us know volleyball. Yeah. Okay, volley for serve. You ever notice how that works? It's like shooting for teams. I mean, who in the world wants Kevin and John and Steve to all be on the opposite team? Right? Even all the short guys on one team, all the tall guys, they have a blast, but we don't. We start throwing elbows and biting kneecaps, amen? I mean, Andrew, man, I don't know what happened. Somehow I stepped on his foot when he was going up, and my shoulder went right up into his ribs. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. It was a great thing. He didn't make the shot or anything, but that's all I can do. You know, it was an accident, of course. So what causes the contentions to cease? Well, we just shoot. See? That's what he's saying. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended, this is a good one, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Be careful about offending people. Because when you really offend somebody, it is hard to get them back. Don't be that person who gets offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I remember a preacher, I forget exactly what preacher it was, I think I may know, but I don't want to quote it wrong, but he picked up Lester Roloff from the airport, and he was picking on him. He was teasing him about his diet and all that stuff. And Lester Roloff looked at him, and later he felt bad about it, and he said, brother, I'm really sorry for picking on you, I shouldn't have done that. And brother, he said, I didn't mean to hurt you. And brother Lester Roloff said, brother, you can't hurt a dead man. You get it? If he be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, aren't you dead with him? That'll help you not be offended. Now watch this, though. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. What's that saying? They're strong. When somebody's offended and they got their argument developed, they're locked in and they ain't coming out. They know exactly what you did and why, and you start going down that road and you start hashing that thing out, and you got one person on one side of the bars and the other person on the other side of the bars, and all they can do is attack each other. Can't get along. Be careful about offenses. That's why sometimes when people got a bad spirit and they just want to be offended, I just let them go. I didn't even go into it with them. I just try to be nice and, okay, well, God bless you. You know, I support you in your decisions. Okay, God bless you. Why? Because I know it's not going anywhere. I've had people just try to find stuff. I mean, one person just got on me about martial arts, you know. I have no problem with you, but, you know, you have no business doing jujitsu. Okay, why is that? I figured the striker thing was coming, and I had a comeback for that, you know. Well, that's why I take jujitsu. There's no striking, you know. Well, that's, you know, ki and new age, and I was like, it's all Asian stuff. I said, no, I'm taking Brazilian jujitsu. It's from Brazil. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, you know what wrestling is, right? It's like advanced technical wrestling. It's just arm locks and things like that. Nobody has to get hurt. I'm not competing and I'm not in the UFC. I just do it as a hobby. It's fun. When people want to get offended, there's no point in even going at it with them. It was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm still offended anyway, so okay. I still need a new pastor. Okay, praise the Lord. What are you going to do? It's like bars of a castle. Just let it go, man. Nothing you're going to do about it. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You know what I think of when I see this one? I think of a salesman. How does a salesman make money? Not selling you something. It's not. You got it, brother. Do you see him? He starts asking you questions. How are you today? Good, how are you? I'm great. What are you looking for? What do you need? What do you want? How would you use that? What do you have right now? What don't you like about it? What do you like about it? You can't answer any of those questions yes or no, can you? Remember we talked about that and trying to deal with people, open-ended questions? You can't answer any of those questions yes or no. And you don't want to talk to them, but you're just like, you won't get away from me. Why do you feel so trapped? You know why? Because he's good. He's good. A good salesman, you feel trapped, don't you? Don't you? They're the masters of using their mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You know what, Christian? Your mouth should bring forth good fruit in your life. Your belly in the Bible a lot of times is a type of your emotions, the seat of your emotions. What kind of fruit comes out of your mouth? The next verse, here's the thing. The next verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, which is it talking about, death or life? Who said that? Was you? Absolutely. It's both. So the fruit, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, what's the it referring to? Both, either one. You know, some people love death. You know how much poetry is out there about death? I know some people are into death poems. Just dark, man. Just weird, dark. I don't know. I'm just really into death poetry on death. Okay, man. Whatever, you know. It's your business. Kind of weird. You know what the Bible says? The wages of what? Is what? You love sin, you'll talk about it. You get around some people and they're just foul, aren't they? How many of you work with some foul people? They're just foul. That's what they love. But you love life? You love life? Whose life? Where does that come from? In him was, and the life was the light of men. What do you love? You love death? You'll talk about it. Oh, I don't love death, but I love drinking and dope and fornication and, you know, things of the world. That's what you talk about. It's death. It's death. You love life? That's what you'll talk about. If you love Jesus Christ, it'll come out. Yeah, I mean, I talk about my kids a lot. You know, and I'm joking lately, and it probably sounds so negative, but I don't know what I'd do without them. I do not know what I'd do without any one of them. I mean, if one of them was gone, there would be such a huge empty spot in my life. I was thinking about that this week because God's good. I pray for their safety and pray that God will watch over them and all that stuff. And I just thought, like, man, I mean, I can't imagine any one of those little girls being gone. I just can't imagine it. Just a hole. I talk about my kids, and again, a lot of jokes lately about, you know, their age and whatnot. But I love every one of them. It's great. I talk about my wife. I love her. I really do. I cannot imagine my life without her. She's perfect for me. She was just specially made from God for me. I mean that with all my heart. And I'm not just trying to get points tonight. I mean it. I try to talk about Jesus. Actually, that's what my life is. It's getting ready. I mean, tomorrow morning, Lord willing, by 7 o'clock, I'll be getting started on Wednesday night. That's my schedule, just getting started. Just looking at the passage and trying to get the thing going. And I'm going to try to do a couple radio broadcasts tomorrow. All about it's, my life is Jesus Christ. I want to talk about him. I got to learn to talk about. I got to learn to love him. If I really love him, I'll talk him. I love the Bible. If I really love it, I'll be talking about it. You know what I like about this church? After services, you guys are sitting around. Not every time. You're not. You don't feel like you have to be. You know, often. Spontaneous little groups of Bible studies, Bible discussions. Wednesday night, you're coming in from a long week of work and you're sitting around over here and you're talking Bible. That's life. You know what keep a church together? Letting life come out of your mouth. You know what destroy it? Death. Sin. All right, let's stop right there and we'll go ahead and be dismissed. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you to help us to have the right kind of fruits coming out of our mouths. I pray, Lord, you'd help our spirit to be right with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to allow these fruits to come through in our life. Give us the wisdom to avoid people, Lord, that aren't for you, that are going to drag us down, that are for death. Give us the wisdom to reach those that are reachable and help us to know the difference between the two. Now I pray, Father, you'd produce in us what it is your spirit would have to produce. Help your people on every level, God, with their body. We have a lot in here that need prayer for their bodies. I ask you to touch them and heal them. And bless them, God. Take care of them, I pray. Give them peace in their spirit, that Lord, that can only come from you. And Lord, many have problems in their soul. We all got problems in our soul, I guess, Lord, in who we are as human beings and in our personality types and our failures and shortcomings. God, we need your help with that. Help us to focus on the Spirit of God and on the fruit of the life in Jesus Christ, that these things might be fixed and that we might draw closer to you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.